Holy Spirit, without you, it's just going to be a word. But when you anoint the word, then it becomes living. So I look for you to bring life to this word today because of what you're doing and the reason you're doing it. I want to really honor Seth this morning because of his obedience and his willingness to serve. And when I brought that out of storage yesterday, and I heard you need to take it, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll take it. And where I bought this was the last day that we were in Israel, and we went to visit where there were some, like a big field with all kinds of some of the army implements that Israel had captured during different wars. And I had an incredible conversation with one of the young men. I think must have been with him for a good, close to an hour, just communicating, asking some of the marvelous things. He was very fluent in English, and that was exciting for me because we had an incredible conversation. I don't recall the fullness of the conversation. I just recall the harmony between us. You know how you can communicate with somebody that's half your age and it doesn't seem to go anywhere because they're on a different planet? This young man was right on the same planet as me, and I believe he loved God with all his heart. And I remember taking his picture. And as soon as I went into the, there was like a museum, and then there was a little gift shop.
Tanks.
Huh?
Tanks. I remember seeing tanks.
Yeah, well, many tanks, yes. Well, in that gift shop, this hat was sitting there, and I kept hearing, you got to buy it, you got to buy it, you got to buy it. And the first one to use it when I got home was Jimmy. Jimmy, at that time, was in high school and or last years of grade school. I'd have to think back now because, believe it or not, he was 15, so he was probably in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's, believe it or not, 14 or 15. When I came home with that hat, oh, Jesus, I need to borrow that. And so he put it on, and off he went to school the next day because he's going to show it to all his buddies. Because he was proud. He was proud, and he was looking to advertise who he was. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 9. Because of God's way of doing things and not man's way. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 is where we're going to start. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. There's a heading in the NIV that says the cost of following Jesus. 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I mean, watch the Lord's response. Because this will take you right to the heart. It'll show you what's important to God. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now you'd say this man called the Messiah is heartless. He doesn't even have compassion to let this man go bury his dad. Do I get a little tiny amen? Where's his compassion for this man who wants to serve and follow him? Where does he come off saying, let the dead bury the dead? Is he aware of something that we don't know? Are we putting emotions ahead of God's army? By the way, you were inducted this morning, huh? We already know what you're doing. You were exposed. I think you should put the hat on, girl. All teasing aside, you know, when God begins to work in us, and he says to these that want to serve him, let the dead bury the dead. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't figure him out. And you'll appreciate this, Dee. Many years ago, we had a person that passed away in Palmer, Three Rivers. I remember the wake was definitely at Belanger's, and it was on a Tuesday. And all day long, I was going through a war. How many know you can go through a war because you've got to face something or you want to be two places at one time? Mm-hmm. You ever want to be two places at one time? Well, there was a connection to this particular person who had passed away, and I don't remember what it was. It was not a relative. It was somebody that we knew well. And it happened to be that the prayer meeting was at the same time as this funeral visitation time. Okay? At the time, of course, I definitely was still in business at that time, and so there was no way that I could go to the funeral on the following day. So the only time I could really make a presentation of my presence was on Tuesday night, because that's the last, they had, you know, wake one night and burial the next day. And all day long, I have no clue what I'm going to do, and my wife is hounding me. Now, I'm not picking on wives. But I want to let you know that women have emotions that are very strong. You got to go, Kim. And all of a sudden, I heard my mouth say, Irene, I'm not going. I have to be where the saints are. Well, those others are saints too. Anybody relate? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I said, well, in that case, I'm getting one scripture. And I said, that scripture says something I can't tell you right now because it would be offensive. And this is the scripture that I was getting. And I wasn't about to tell her. Because I knew what the results were going to be. We just might have the breakout of World War III. In my home. I don't remember, but I don't believe I ever told her what the scripture was. To this day. But I know that the Lord was telling me, let the dead bury their own dead. And so off she went to the service, and I went to rejoice and give thanks and praise the Lord. And I could see the division that was starting to take place. Because I could see we were on the same book, but not on the same page. Anybody can connect these dots with me?
Yeah.
Okay? And I mean, how the pressure was inside. I didn't want to displease this family. And I can remember saying to my wife, look, you represent the family. You're going. Wonderful. I'm not. Give them my love. And we'll be interceding for them. Which, by the way, is a lot more effective than being at a wake service. Because I've been to wake services. And the chatter is intense. The purpose of being there is usually to try to rebuild the family. And they weren't going to be rebuilt by the Holy Ghost, as far as I could see. They were trying to rebuild themselves. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not picking on them now, because I'm not doing that. But I am saying that the Lord's word came alive to me at that time. And I understood. Who am I going to follow? Where's my dedication? Where is my focus? And the Lord was making it very clear. Your focus is to be with the saints that know my Father. Not those that claim to know. Connections. Anybody connect with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, you are in a very fine space when you begin to understand that you have been called to go higher and it doesn't make sense to those around you. Because it can't. You have that inner knowing on the inside that you are different, and yet you'd like to be where they are to kind of bring them with you. But there's an inner knowing in them that says, no way, Jose, ain't going. And they made the decision, and you know that their death is not aware. Or maybe the inner parts of them is not fully alive yet. It may be under construction, but it's not fully alive yet. They're still listening to their emotions. So, verse 61, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hands to the plow, looks back, is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Whoa! You want to go backwards? You want to go into the service of your emotions? Then you can go back, but don't expect for God to honor it. He can't. Because it's against what the Lord is speaking to his creation. Chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Out like lambs among wolves. So what is he saying? It's going to be wonderful for you. Nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to look at you. You are so awesome in power. No. He's just saying to them, you haven't got any power of your own. In fact, I'm letting you know you ain't too swift. You might even be called a little dumb. I can remember one of the times the Lord had me do a little research on lambs and how really not too swift they are. And I can remember learning that a shepherd would literally
make shepherd's pie.
Yes, they would make shepherd's pie, but
sorry.
Lambs are not that swift. They don't even know how to drink without cutting their own faces in the river. I didn't know that. I didn't know that a good shepherd is going to take a jug of oil with him, and he's going to literally take the oil and smooth it over the nose and all of the forehead of the lamb. Anybody tell me why?
Get the bugs out.
Get the bugs out. If you put oil on their faces and around their eyes and on their noses, their noses are going to be slippery, so when they're too dumb not to stick their head too far into the water, they won't cut themselves. And the bugs won't attack their eyes. It will not stop their vision. You say, well, why anoint myself? I ain't wasted time. Yeah?
Are you a lamb? Then don't judge your judgment, because it ain't that swift. Okay? Go by what the Word says. Go by what the Lord says. Anoint one another, that you may be healed. Use the oil I provide. You know, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to show you your nature. And in case you forgot, Jesus is saying point blank, let the dead bury the dead. So your emotional self is not too swift. Your spirit reality is powerful indeed. So your spirit man is part of the army. But the flesh is what? It's weak. It can't get itself out of the mess. Do you ever wonder why that the shepherd carries a shepherd's rod with a crook on it? It's because they're too dumb. They'll go into the mud, they'll sink up to their belly, and they'll die there. Yahoo! Does that give you a clue? How many times did Jesus have to pull you and me out? I don't know how many times, but I do know this. He's got his shepherd's rod with him. He's got it with him. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, inside of me is an incredible warrior in the spirit. But if I put my hand 16 or 18 inches higher, go ahead, put your hand up on your head. Say, this is the dummy part of me. This is the lamb part of me. When I try to figure it all out, I've got to remember. I better have a good level of oil. Because I'm going to cut myself. I'm going to stop seeing clearly. Because I'm trusting something that's dying. Namely, my soul. My mind, my will, my emotions. It's all registered up here. But the real powerful part of me is a little lower. So I'm going to place an anointing today.
Go ahead, put your hand down, right on your belly.
Say, Lord Jesus, I'm commissioning myself to be a part of that great army of God. The Israel of God is fully alive in me. And I am a warrior. And I can fight the good fight. I can stand my ground. I can lay my hands on the sick. I can cast out devils. In the name of the one that is my shepherd. His name is Jesus. And his blood is all powerful to cleanse, to heal, and to set free, and to keep my eyes clear, and to keep my ears clean, and to anoint my voice, to pull down everything that needs to be pulled down, and to plant life where nothing is alive. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glorify yourself through me.
Glorify yourself.
Make me strong, Lord.
Make me strong.
So that I can do what you've called me to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I think you got it, huh? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Verse 3, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Listen, do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. In other words, don't get hooked into the flesh. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Verse 6 is awesome. If a man of peace is there, or if a woman of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. Did you know you had the gift of peace, the Prince of Peace inside of you? and you will radiate peace everywhere you go. And if they can't handle it, it'll come back on you. Verse 6 again, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you.
Woo!
What have you got to miss?
How can you lose? How can you make a mistake? If it doesn't rest on them and they can't receive it, who gets the double blessing?
We do.
Yes. So how can you miss? You can't miss. Amen? Look at your neighbor, say, you're not missing out on anything when you bless somebody. Watch 7. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Who are there? And tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So he's telling you what to tell them. When's the last time you laid hands on the sick person when you went to visit? When's the last time that you spoke words of life to somebody that's dying? When's the last time that you obeyed the Lord in giving life to somebody that's struggling and encouraged them? I pray it was yesterday and even maybe this morning. Healing the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, this is his hometown now. This is where he's living. Would you be lifted up to the skies? No. You will go down to the depths. You know, when I was in that city, I understand now that it was a huge city at that time when our Lord was there. And now all it is a bunch of broken buildings. There's nothing there. There's probably a few people that live there to give some kind of support to the, you know, tourists that come. But, Gail, do you remember anybody living there?
No.
There's nothing there as far as I remember.
No.
What am I saying to you? Our Savior was aware that these people were dead. And he prophesied that their future was nothing. Zero. We don't want to make that mistake. Verse 16. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Those are powerful words. Close your eyes one more time. Lift one hand to the Lord. Say, I've got to have a new mindset, Lord.
I've got to begin to see
that those who reject me are rejecting the Spirit of God in me.
And I forgive them.
I set them free.
I ask you, Lord,
to release me now,
to obey you,
in the spirit,
on the inner parts of me.
There's a press to go forward and obey. Give me the grace to carry out the commission that you've given me.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows the Father. I'm sorry. No one knows the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
I'm telling you that I believe we live in a generation that God is actually outshining what he had in the first run of his Son in the earth. I believe that the manifestation of Christ Jesus in a body of believers in the years to come will be so intense, so powerful, and the harmony between us will be so pure that no one will move without an anointing and the awareness of the other of how they work, what to do, and when to do it. Anybody relate to what I'm saying? It's like a woman about ready to make a dinner, and she's got several guests and a few helpers in the kitchen. If there are too many, they bump into each other, and there's no headship. But when the Holy Ghost is in charge, that dinner is going to come off without a hitch. Because everybody knows what to do and when to do it. And there's a harmony that happens when people are working together. And I can tell you this. There are times when I've worked with different individuals. And I know that there's an awareness on the other person of what I'm about to do before I do it. And it's so easy and so sweet and smooth. But there are others who are crabby and irritating. And when they're part of your team, you can tell they've got their own agenda. And every time you try to go forward, what happens?
You don't go forward.
You don't go forward. What happens?
They pull you back.
Yeah, they pull you back. And then you have to do their work plus yours. See how important harmony is? One last prayer. Close your Bible.
I want you to stand. I want you to come forward.
Say, Father, we are one heart.
Father, we are one heart.
Yours.
Yours.
By the Spirit of your Son.
By the Spirit of your Son.
Resident within me.
Resident within me.
Give me the coordinates.
Give me the coordinates.
So that I can go forward.
So that I can go forward.
As a body of believers.
As a body of believers.
To transform this neighborhood.
To transform this neighborhood.
And my neighborhood.
And my neighborhood.
Because when I go forward.
Because when I go forward.
You're connected to me.
You're connected to me.
And the amount of grace.
And the amount of grace.
That is mine.
That is mine.
Comes from you.
Comes from you.
And from me.
And from me.
To you.
To you.
Because it's the same Jesus.
Because it's the same Jesus.
That's in you.
That's in you.
And in you.
And in you.
That's in me.
That's in me.
So we're going as one.
So we're going as one.
We've been tied together by God.
We've been tied together by God.
And we are one in Him.
And we are one in Him.
And He is one in us.
And He is one in us.
As we go forward in this week.
As we go forward in this week.
Show us what to say.
Show us what to say.
Guide us.
Guide us.
And anoint us.
And anoint us.
To bring healing to the sick.
To bring healing to the sick.
Resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
To those who are dead.
To those who are dead.
It's called being born again.
It's called being born again.
Before they go home.
Before they go home.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.